Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, fiscal gimmickry and current policies that are not appropriate for the economy or the public finances. The Irish Fiscal Advisory Council has delivered a blow to the government ahead of a key election weekend as the Finance Minister, Michael McGrath, moves towards his key budget preparation with the summer economic statement next month. Is there any headroom for another giveaway budget? Well, joining me on the line now for more on this is Cliff Taylor, columnist with the Irish Times. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning, Claire.
It's not the first time the council have used this type of language. Do we have any proof, though, around their main accusation that the government is breaching its own spending rules by not accounting for overruns?
As you say, the fiscal council, I suppose, first went in with the studs up after the last budget, last October's budget, with this fiscal gimmickry accusation, which is pretty strong, and I think raised a few hackles in the Department of Finance and the Department of Public Spending. And interesting that Michael McGrath was already out in response to the latest report, I suppose taking issue with the tone of what the Fiscal Council was saying. I mean, their central point rests around a couple of things. One is that the government have had to account for a lot of what was thought or what it might have appeared to be temporary costs over the last few years, first of all from COVID and more recently from the influx of refugees from Ukraine and elsewhere and international protection applicants. And the case that the Fiscal Council is making is, first of all, that a lot of that spending is still counted as temporary, if you like, in the budget sums, and is thus not counted as permanent. And the budget spending rule applies only to permanent spending, and the Fiscal Council is saying to the government, look, you really need to include this now as permanent spending, you know, to get a view on what spending, how spending is going up. And the other key issue, I suppose, is the perennial one about accounting for spending in health, which already looked unrealistic, I suppose, when the budget was announced for this year. And we know that health spending is already above target, and they're also pointing to that. So, yes, there is some evidence there. And I suppose the Fiscal Council are paid to be the awkward squad, and they certainly upped their language and their criticism of government, I think, over the last year or so.
So we'll get a greater sense of where things are heading, won't we, next month when we have the summer economic statement published. That'll set out the spending parameters. And we know that we are in this moment heading up to an election, wherever, whenever that might happen. Can the giveaway packages of the last few years be repeated? Is that what we're expecting to see in that summer economic statement?
Well, the last budget before a general election, I think history would teach us that it'll certainly going to be a generous budget. There is money in the kitty. There is a surplus projected for this year and more importantly, for next year. Now, I think the two budget ministers, Michael McGrath and Pascal Donoghue, who have tried, I suppose, to put a bit of a hold on this by getting cabinet agreement that $6 billion is going to be put aside each year to go into these two funds for the future. In other words, funds that are going to be spent in future years. So that is going to put a bit of restraint on the package in October. And the Fiscal Council, you know, did give the government the thumbs up for setting up those two funds, although it did say that a lot more money should be invested in them. But nonetheless, I think the other cabinet ministers are going to be saying, well, look, we have this money put aside. We still have a fair amount of money to spare. There's still a big surplus being forecast, and we need to push out with a decent budget package before the election. So I think there's going to be a lot of argument and coming and going over the summer about that.
Can I ask you about that set aside money to be put in cash reserves? Is there any movement on that? Is that gone already, accounted for? Or can we see a situation arising where you have that pressure coming from ministers seeking for more spending to happen and six becomes four?
No, I don't think that can happen. It's been set down in legislation, which is going through the Oireachtas. I don't think the government could reverse on that. I mean, the other side of this, I suppose, is that the coalition is going to go to the electorate on the basis of, quotes, prudent management of the public finances. So I think that would be a bad signal. And I think they have enough leeway even without doing that to have a generous package. I think, you know, everyone has agreed at this stage, looking at what various ministers have been saying, that yes, there's going to be welfare increases at or above inflation. Yes, the tax system is going to be adjusted so that inflation doesn't take a bigger chunk out of people's tax doesn't take a bigger chunk out of people's wages as inflation takes hold and as the wages go up. So those two things are going to happen. I think where the row is going to be, and we've seen different nuances of this, I suppose, in what various ministers and the Taoiseach have said, the row is going to be over whether there's going to be another big cost of living package, in other words, once-off supports that we saw over the last few years, first of all, in relation to COVID, but more recently in relation to the cost of living. So are we going to have another round of energy credits, for example? Are we going to have another round of double child benefit weeks and so on? I think that's where the argument is going to be. Michael McGrath and Pascal Donoghue, I think, looking at what they said in the National Economic Dialogue, very much don't want that to happen. They're emphasising the importance of permanent measures, saying we need to go back to more normal budgets. But the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, did refer to a cost of living package in his speech of the dialogue.
Yeah, he seems to have a different view, Cliff, would you agree?
He does. He does, yeah. Now, you know, a cost of living package can be whatever you want it to be, I suppose. But certainly that was the phraseology used last year in relation to the big once-off payments. So I think we're going to see interesting discussions at Cabinet over the summer about that and about where the balance is going to be struck on Budget Day.
Can I ask you about this? What I thought was a fairly chilling assessment of the Irish economy. So the report from IFAC talks about 20% of earners in this country paying 80% of income tax. Mm. Some of those high earners, probably quite a few of them, they're concentrated in the sectors which also pay high corporation tax. So if you have a downturn in a small number of sectors, say in the tech, that's going to impact not only corporation tax, but income tax as well. That's a scary prospect, isn't it?
It is indeed. It is indeed, and I think it's an important point. So we've tended to focus on corporation tax, where the Fiscal Council calculates that just three companies are responsible for 40% of all corporation tax. But a lot of the highest earners who pay a lot of income tax in this country also work for these big multinational companies. They are the high wage companies. And so they are the people who are paying the most of the income tax and USC and PRSI in the country. So, yes, we are particularly vulnerable to downturns in tech, in pharma and in the big multinational sectors. It's a point that the Fiscal Council is making. It's made it before. But I think, you know, one of the points is that looking at the income tax system over the last kind of since the recovery started, I suppose, in 2017, 2018, and since we started to see more generous budgets, the governments have tended to target relief, understandably, in the income tax system at lower earners. And that's left more and more of the burden on the higher earning parts of the population. Mm-hmm. And it is an area where Ireland is an outlier, if you like. So the percentage of tax paid by higher earners in Ireland, percentage of income tax, is unusual in international terms. And when you add corporation tax to that, you know, we are exposed.
Cliff, I saw you highlighting on social media the significance of Intel selling 49% of its new leak slip plant to an investor for around the 11 billion mark. What is the significance of that?
Yeah, this was just announced last night that Apollo, a big US investment fund, are going to buy 49% of the new plant, the Fab 34 plant being built in Leixlip by Intel. This news first came out a couple of weeks ago, and there was a bit of inaccuracy, I suppose, in the initial reports which came out internationally on wire services, a bit of misunderstanding and thinking that this money was going to be reinvested in Ireland. But what actually is happening is that Intel is selling 49% of the new plant in Leixlip, raising about 11 billion. And this money is going to be invested around the world in its various operations. So I think there's two things to look out for in this. One is that we're now in an unusual situation where an investment fund owns 49% of Intel's new operation in Leixlip. And we're just not, you know, it's hard to know what that would mean. And on the plus side, I suppose, it must mean that the investors are confident this is going to be a profitable and long-term operation. So that's good. In terms of the imponderables, what does that mean for the management of this plant? Are the investors going to be looking, what's their view going to be on future investment in the plant versus taking out profits and stuff like that in the long term? We just don't know. But I think it is an unusual situation. Intel have done it with the plant in America, but this isn't normal, if you like.
All right. Go ahead.
I was going to say the second point then is where is the money going to be invested? The indications are that most of Intel's investment in the short term is going to a big new plant in Germany, and also going back to the US, where it's getting massive investment from the US government, massive backing from the US government, which wants to build up its own chip production at home for strategic and geopolitical reasons. So we must hope, I suppose, that the operation in Leestip is going to continue to get its share of investment in the years ahead, that the plant there is going to continue to be upgraded. I mean, no reason to think that it won't be. Intel has been a hugely positive investor in Ireland, a massive investor in Ireland over the years. But equally, there's no doubt that the big money now over the next few years looks like it's going to the bigger countries, Germany and the US in particular.
Won't be staying here anyway, is probably what we can surmise. Cliff, thanks so much. Cliff Taylor there, columnist with the Irish Times. Now, as the Leaving Cert gets underway, we're going to speak next to guidance counsellor Donico O'Mahony.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.